the age of media transparency, things have never seemed so unclear. We're changing that. Welcome to Level Headed with former professional athlete and entrepreneur, Ambassador Jack Brewer. Offering a balanced, authentic, and non-traditional perspective, exposing the divisiveness of information that influences us today. Focused on issues in politics, sports, entertainment, health, and business. Highlighting stories of social good by real people who are changing the world. It's time to get level headed. Here's Jack.
Welcome, everyone. Level Headed. It is 2020. This is our first show of the new year. I'm here. I'm Jack Brewer with Mike Lindell. As you all know, we're setting out to bring the truth, bring some reality to the conversations that are moving this nation, just talking about things and bringing up God, bringing up faith, and just bringing some real balance to the conversation. Mike, welcome back, man.
Great to be back.
Let's do it. Let's do it. So, Mike, we had a pretty exciting end of our 2019. I thought we'd take time at the beginning of this show to really talk about some of those things and highlight, you know, you got a big book release coming up. You came in. I just got ordained.
That was awesome.
Yeah, man. And I think you've been with the president five or six times in the last few weeks. Yeah. So just wanted to talk a little bit about that, man. Tell us a little bit about the book release. You know, why you're doing it and why you're so excited.
Well, it's been 7 years, actually my whole life in the making. And, you know, I had four, amongst my crack addiction and cocaine addiction and gambling addiction, all these addictions. The book's not just about addiction and getting, you know, and redemption and getting set free of those, but it's also entrepreneurship. Right. You know, it's basically life and all the things that can. It's a story of hope.
Yes.
It's going to give people so much hope. And it, for me, I didn't wonder my whole life, like I would have, let's say in my 20s, I'll give an example. You know, I had the mafia after me for betting on football. Isn't that funny? We've talked about football, but I'm betting on football, and here I am just a 22-year-old kid, and all the mafia, you know, owe him $20,000 or $30,000, whatever it would be, and they leave a note on my door and says, pay by tonight. Things are going to get very physical, the book.
Oh. You know?
Now, I kept that bag, knowing that someday I would write a book.
Because wow.
What I'm saying here is throughout the book, you know, falling asleep on a motorcycle, going skydiving, crashing the motorcycle, then I get there and my parachute doesn't open.
Oh.
You know, things like these. Yeah. But I kept proof that those happened. Mm-hmm. So when you read the book and you're going, wow, what are the odds of this? The book's called What Are the Odds from Crack Addicts to CEO? Well, you're going to go, my friends would always go, yeah, you have a 1 in a million, Michael, every week. And then you have like a 1 in a billion every month or something that happens doesn't happen to anybody. Well, we all have that in our lives. And when do you add them together? When does it become a miracle?
Amen.
Well, in the book, every one of these has the actual kind of proof there, you know, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's a picture or whatever. And then you go, wow, this really happened. This really happened. So it validates everything that happened. So you get to the end of the book, you're going to go, wow, Jesus has to be real. This is impossible.
Impossible.
This is impossible without Jesus.
It has to be a divine situation for all those things to happen.
Right.
Yeah, but for you to have the intuition and the foresight, God gave you that foresight to keep all those things. Yeah.
That to me, and I would always, you know, these strange things that happened over my life, even my friends would say, you know, they're all looking for this book coming out. They're going, wow, we lived it. You know, wait till the people see this stuff, you know. Yeah. But it was, they would see these things happen, and I would know, whether it be good or, you know, good or bad, I'm going, these things can't happen, but it would all lead. I can look back now and see something very bad in my life that happened, but I wouldn't be here if it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
So many people need to look at that, too, and say, you know, when you're devastated by something, and then you get further down the road and you look back and go, wow, that was a turning point. That was meant to be, whether it was a wake-up call, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so they, people that, when things do happen, you got to just keep the hope, keep the faith that, you're going to get through it. And I mean, God chased me my whole life. You know, I didn't get saved till February 18, 2017, but all these things that kept happening, I knew were, you know, that God was right there. I just didn't, I just said, come on, keep chasing me, but
No, and it worked. And it worked. And Mike, and later on in the show, we're going to have, you know, our weekly hope report. Yeah. So you can bring some of that, you know, that hope and inspiration right. to America. And, you know, as you're talking here, I'm thinking about my own personal journey and journey with Christ. And sometimes, you know, you don't always know where you're going. But, you know, I learned pretty quickly that you got to seek God for him to be able to really talk to you. And sometimes people, you know, you get these miracles that happen in your life. And right. instead of you really giving that credit and that glory to God, sometimes, you know, we think it's ourselves or we're lucky.
Right. Yeah, we're lucky.
We're
right.
lucky,
yeah,
you know, exactly. versus miracle. And so, you know, for me, when I was able to use the power of God to help revive one of my friends and really help heal him, you know, God used me to help heal him. And I gave glory to God and, you know, I was ordained. And so, you know, I wanted you guys just to hear a couple words from Mike and some of my other close friends from my actual ordination. Listen to this and then we'll get some reaction.
Because I want to tell you where me and Jack met in our quiet time and our silent time, and why he would call me in the middle of the night and I would call him. And I didn't understand the situation we were in or what we were going through. I thought I was just with a guy who had a lot of money. He left the league. He was teaching me all this stuff about life. But everything in me, God was saying that this is my movement. So when Jack called me and said, man, will you be at my ordinary, you being ordained? I said, ordained? Like, but you got to understand what ordained, the word ordained comes from the word order. It starts to mean that all things are about to line up. So one thing I look up to Jack to know is if Jack did it, I can do it.
So I'm going to Fox here, and I'm in Minneapolis, and it's remote control, and Jack was in New York. And all of a sudden, I get a text from Jack, because I had just been on TV, and it says, and Jack says, Mike, I'm here in the building. Come up to the third floor when you're done. And I got out of my head, and I go, there's only one floor here, you know? And I asked the people where the floor was. And anyway, I find out that he was in New York, so I watched him on TV, and his message was the same thing that I've been preaching. I mean, it was that dude. And it says, in fact, you were on that day, Jack, saying how Donald Trump had helped the African American community. And we were talking about, and you talked about Jesus right on TV. I go, wow, he talks about God right on TV like I do now. And then I knew God put us together three times, and I knew it was meant to be. And I'll tell you.
Now, in 2014 says, for we are called, but the few are chosen.
Yeah.
Your seed in the ground, and it has begun to flourish. Continue to reap what you have sown. God is and will continue to lead in your direction. I will close with Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation.
Amen. Amen. Some of my closest friends and family and my brother Mike here, as I got ordained as a minister, and I get to put that reverend title on my name.
Yeah,
but
man, that was so awesome, Jack. And then your son.
My son sang.
Singing. Just a family there. So, you know, I see where your whole family, your mother, and she, it was your sister, I think. When your sister went up and talked, I mean, I'm going, what can I say, man? She raised the bar so high, but she's talking about, you know, you, and it was just, you deserve everything that that God's blessed you with. You've been just so faithful, and so the things I heard that day, I'm going, wow, no wonder he's getting ordained here. I mean, it was just a great, I was so honored even to have you be able to go say a few words there.
No, I appreciate it, man. You made it even more a special event because, you know, through your life, you get to meet people. And folks, that's why we're doing this show. It's why we call it Level Headed, is you get to meet people throughout your journey. Sometimes you can meet someone that God puts in your life, and you may have known other folks for 30 or 40 or 50 years, but that particular divine appointment becomes more special to you, and it's because it was a gift of God.
Absolutely. And there's divine, you know, you have divine appointments. This is what I was going to say before too, and you know you brought it up. You know, you're going, I think so many people, when we talk about prayer, so many people that when we're down and out, that's when we'll reach out to God there. And whether we're full all in or not, whether they're going, oh God, get me out of this circumstances, please God, get me out of this, and I will change, I'll do this or whatever. Well, you know what? And plus a lot of things too that we pray for might not be God's will. Amen. What I have learned is now that, you know, that I've been saved is and did a full surrender is God's will is in the Word.
Amen.
And if you stay in the Word, now I can be proactive in prayer.
That's right.
And you've taught me a lot of that. That's where I've been with since you've been brought into my life. I mean, you've made me better, you know, used to. The thing I hear the most is, Mike, you got to stay in the Word. You got to stay in the Word. Because I can get so, for me, I got kind of complacent where I'm going, man, I can get through anything, you know. I can get through anything. I'll just say one little prayer and God gets me through and I forget about it. But now to be proactive in prayer and people pray for me all the time to have wisdom and discernment, but I've got to stay in my own prayer to ask, is this of you, God? Is this a door that's opening up that is of you? If it's not, close it.
And that's right.
But I'll tell you, that's where I've you now getting ordained. That's to me, it's all deserving. Since you've come into my life, it's all the, you know. For me, I just watch you. I'm going, you know, wow, I got to do what Jack's doing. he's staying in the Word and he's praying. And I'm going, you're a good example.
You're a good example
for people that, you know. For all people that I've seen, you know, but for myself, people always look at me, well, he wears his cross, and boy, they'll come up to me and say, you know, hey, can you pray for me or whatever? And I'm going, you know, I feel like kind of strange they're coming up to me.
Yes.
You know, when people are going, well, I'm looking up to you, people like you. And then I heard from you the other day, well,
you're right.
But we're all the body of Christ.
That's right.
And we're all, you know, we all just have to. The power of, you know, two people praying, or isn't that in the Bible?
It's in the Bible.
More people praying.
We're to unite in prayer, he's there. That's in the Bible.
Yeah.
And Mike, you're talking to me, and I keep thinking about team.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about, you know, all those teams I played on and all the sports. And, like, you really do need people.
Yeah.
You need the right people to build that team. And I think that's what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And as we're, you know, we're talking about teams, and I know this has been a kind of a special few weeks here for you. The last couple weeks ending 2019,
right.
You know, it was a good year. I think it was a year that both of us have kind of rejuvenated ourselves in Christ.
Right.
And, you know, you got a chance to spend some time with the president. You know, how was that? I mean, you when I saw that picture of you at the New Year's event at Mar-a-Lago, I mean, I don't care what you think about the president. I mean, everyone, that's kind of the most elite New Year's event in the country, man. How was it?
It was amazing. It was, we were right, his table's right behind ours, and he called me over three times and to introduce me to these. See, some of these are, a couple of them were world leaders in there. And then Lou Dobbs was there. He's telling Lou Dobbs about all my ads and, you know, that I buy and he just said, Mike, I'm a big fan of yours, you know, and then I'm going, wow, you're the president of the United States. And he just has such a good heart for people. And everyone, people were coming up to him, and a lot of them, you know, one gal he met right at my table for the first time, he spent probably 5 minutes talking to her because he cared about where, you know, getting to know her. You know, and you know, she wasn't some famous person. It was just that's who he is.
Yep.
And for me, you know, just to get the, just to tell everybody out there, he just genuinely cares. And he's an amazing listener.
Yes.
You know, he listens. People don't realize that. He just takes stuff in, and he you can't fake that. You can't fake that. And he loves the country, and boy, what great things he's doing. I just wanted to encourage him. I got to say a little thing, just a few words to the First Lady.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they get attacked so much, and I just said, you know what, I said, you're one of the most amazing first ladies I've ever seen, and not that I've met a lot of them, but she, but I just said, you know, what you guys are doing and where your hearts are, I said, I told her, I said, you know, people see me on the street all the time, and they talk to me, and they don't talk to me about a pillow. And the number one thing I told her is tell the president that we're praying for him and his family all the time, mm-hmm. and that we're behind you, you know, that they, and they'll thank me for having their back, you know, because I have that big platform. But she goes, Mike, I really appreciate that. And, you know, I said, we're praying for you guys for having strength and good wisdom and discernment. And that was meant to me. But the atmosphere there, you know, with that New Year's Eve and then in a couple of days even before that, it was just, you think for all the attacks, I mean, he can just relax and just, you know, just be enjoy. He enjoys people, and they both do. And they're just down to earth, and it was just so fun, you know. And their family, the whole family, you know, from Eric, Laura, Don Jr., they're, you know, all there, and they're just, you know, you can tell a lot about a person by their friends and their family, and their employees. His employees, his staff, all of them love him. They love him, you know. And it's all these, you know, and it's all, you know, you want to talk about, it's all women and minorities. Yeah. I mean, that's they, but they love him. It's like my workers, and they, you know, that's why. If anybody, isn't it funny? I want to say this. Isn't it funny during the election cycle that not one employee of Donald Trump's came forward to say anything bad. And you got everybody listen, he's got more employees than I got. Exactly. He's got thousands. They tried to pay him off, different ones. I know this for a fact. I've been told that. And they, none of them would take the money. They go, no, he's a good man. And she's an amazing lady.
They are. And you hear that time and time again.
Yeah.
Mike, that's an incredible story, sharing those experiences recently here. To start off 2020. This is Level Headed. I'm Jack Brewer. We're going to come back with some news highlights, you know, talk a little bit about Iran and the impeachment in 2020 election when we get right back. I'm Jack Brewer with Mike Lindell. This is Level Headed. Be back shortly.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable.
Call or go online to order your very own Giza Dream Sheets. Giza Dreams feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, Mike will send you a second set of Giza Dream Sheets absolutely free. That's two sets of sheets for the price of one. Just in time for colder weather, you can get Mike's new flannel sheets, plus get a second set absolutely free. Order now.
Welcome back to Level Headed. Jack Brewer with Mike Lindell. We're actually shooting from Miami, Florida. And, you know, we're going to jump into a little bit of news here. You know, this is Level Headed, where we're talking about news from a non-biased perspective, you know, using really our experiences. You know, we live our words through the work of our hands. Mike and I have been blessed in so many ways to see things, touch things. You know, we normally don't comment on things that we haven't experienced ourselves. And so, you know, that's what I call real. And that's what this show is trying to represent, is not the biased news that you may see out there where folks are creating stories for financial gain. Mike and I aren't getting paid to do this show. We have no motives here except for to spread, you know, love, the word of God, and the truth surrounding issues facing our nation. And, you know, when you talk about that, you know, as we mentioned previously, Mike had a chance to go to Mar-a-Lago for the New Year's Eve event with President Trump. And, you know, actually there was some big news happening at that time, obviously with tensions in Iran. And talks about impeachment. But one person that really stood out to me was Rudy Giuliani, Mayor Giuliani. who, as you all know, is the lawyer for the president. You know, he said something that was pretty interesting there, you know, basically saying that he would testify before the Senate and that he would actually even try the case. Everyone listen to Rudy Giuliani's comments at Mar-a-Lago.
I believe that historically this impeachment will not be called an impeachment. I believe it will be called an illegal coup. I think it will go down in history to disgrace Nancy Pelosi and Schiff. There's never been a partisan impeachment. There's never been an impeachment based on something that isn't a crime. There's never been an impeachment that was put through with no witnesses being allowed, no lawyers being allowed, threatening to put people in jail.
You just got back from Ukraine. What did you do?
Well, a lot of things I learned I can't reveal yet. What I learned is that the corruption in Ukraine is vast, it's extensive. It highly involves the Democratic Party, not just in 2016, but for many years. And one of the reasons they're doing this impeachment is when the full scope of what happened to the Ukraine comes out, there are going to be an awful lot of Americans who participated in the Ukrainian corruption. In fact, we shouldn't call it Ukrainian corruption. We should call it American-Ukrainian corruption. The Bidens took millions of dollars laundered out of Ukraine. And the only reason they're getting away with it is because you and the press protect them, and the prosecutors are afraid that you're going to criticize them. And that's a double standard that has to end.
Well, tell us what you found out. What did you learn?
I'm not going to tell you what I found out until I have a proper forum to do it, but it's devastating.
What is that forum? Is that in front of the Senate when the impeachment trial begins?
We will figure out the right forum, and it'll come at the right time. And I don't have all the evidence yet. I just met with a new witness yesterday.
Does the president want you to testify? I can't tell you who I met with.
This is expanding. It will turn out to be a series of criminal acts. It'll involve the highest levels of the Obama administration. And it's the reason why the Democratic Party is in panic. What they did to the Ukraine.
Does the president want you to testify in the trial?
I would testify. Do demonstrations, I'd give lectures, I'd give summations, or I'd do what I do best, I'd try the case. I'd love to try the case.
Would you be going back to Ukraine? Are you going to? Are you telling us you would try the case? I don't know if anybody
would have the courage to give me the case, but if you give me the case, I will prosecute it as a racketeering case, which I kind of invented anyway. So it's been 30 years ago, but let's see if I can still do it.
Wow. It's pretty crazy to hear a guy like Rudy Giuliani come out and be so strong that he wanted to even try this case.
Yeah.
You know, if a guy was guilty and, you know, the picture the liberal media is trying to paint of him and the president, you would think he wouldn't want to go take the stand.
You know, I was with Rudy that night, too, and he is so common sense, too.
Yeah.
He's level-headed. You got lawyers out there. I've met so many lawyers, and I'm going, you've got an agenda, a lot of the lawyers, you know, too, and I'm going, but to have common sense, Rudy's full of common sense. That's why he wants to do it. He just, what's right is right, and he just, you know, he's just down to earth, and he's just, you know, look what he did to New York back in the day, clean that up and all the great things he did.
All the great things he did. Absolutely.
I mean, and... I love talking when I'm around him. He wants to come out. He's got some things him and I are going to do together and to help the country. And I told him about my recovery network with my addiction and everything. And there's a guy, I like talking to guys that have their high power with common sense.
Common sense.
And he's one of them.
He is. And you think, you know, the media would want to hear his story.
Yeah.
The man spent so much time. He's, you know, really uncovered some sick realities about the way politics in America has been working with people, you know, pay to play, people coming into office broke, leaving rich, using the powers of government to enrich themselves and their families. You know, those are things that I don't think any American, no matter if you're independent, Republican, Democrat, we don't want to go down that rabbit hole. And it's just, you know, it's a kind of a slap in the face to Mayor Giuliani that, you know, so much of the liberal media tries to discredit him.
Yeah, and where was, you know, do they have a short memory, Jack? You know, I mean, come on, you know, I was just, I was talking to Don Jr., and, you know, he was just here. Here's how short memories are. And he said, he was on The View, you know, yep. He did that great job on The View. And he said, you know, these, I said, well, did they treat you that way off camera too? And he said, one of them did. I won't name who it was, but they, and he says, you know, Mike, you go back 10, 15 years ago and we were all friends. You know?
All friends.
What did they do? What did they do other than trying to help our country? All of them,
yep.
You know, the family to, you know, Rudy and they're going, all the great things he did, New York and stuff. And, you know, 9/11, all that happened. And he's, and now they're, you know, they don't want to hear about it.
They don't want to hear about it.
They don't want to hear about what's wrong with that picture.
It's crazy. And they've completely changed the narrative. And I know because I, you know, sometimes I'll flip on CNN or check out MSNBC. Yeah. And, you know, I, as I tell everyone, listen, this is, I'm a guy, I voted for President Obama twice. I campaigned for him. Yeah. I've been a lifelong Democrat. I'm not the Republican that, you know, people try to make me out to be now because I actually have seen the truth.
Right.
That's not who I am. I've always been, you know, I voted very liberal my entire life. But, you know, watching what's really going on and being close to it, being a part of the news cycle all the time and knowing people actually involved on both sides. You know, I just see things that some folks don't see because I have access to it.
Right.
And when you look at this whole impeachment story, the sad thing is it is resonating with a lot of the liberal media, the folks that are watching it. And, you know, that's what scares me is I don't want to overlook the fact that some people are just not educated on these.
They just
situations.
They don't have the facts. And it's like and then they're getting this. I want to tell one thing real quick. You know, back in 16. When I met Donald Trump before he was president, Jack, I come out of crack addiction. I didn't know a liberal from a conservative. I had never voted or nothing. And I was the media's darling. I could say I'm walking across the street and they all come, how fast are you going to walk?
Right. That's right.
Well, all of a sudden, I met Donald Trump. I came back to Minnesota and I did a press release saying that I met Donald Trump. I didn't tell him what we talked about. And all of a sudden, they called me evil. They called me racist, all this stuff. Nobody wanted to meet me. And I go, what did I do? That's when I learned then and there that there's something wrong out there, you know, that there's something hidden, some things that, you know, I got a slap in the face. And then everyone said, well, Mike, you can't go all in. You're going to ruin your company. And I said, no, that's why I'm going all in. There's something out there. Right. I'm going in for what's morally right and getting it out there. But it's sad that they... you know, being close to it too, then I had to learn, like you're close to it. Right. We find out the truth. We have access to it where other people don't.
Right.
For me, the only way they can handle me is just to completely block me from getting the word out because they know I'm telling it like it is. I learned where my, you know, and when you talk, I'm not necessarily, you don't brand me as a Republican. I had a Republican ask me about a donor event that she wanted me to do. And I said, I can't do that. You're pro-choice. She goes, well, Mike, I'm kind of in the middle. I go, no, you're either pro-life or pro-choice. There's no middle ground here. And I said, I can see the headlines on CNN. Mike Lindell goes against his Christian values to back a Republican. That ain't going to happen.
That's not going to happen. Yep. And it's true. You know, some folks, you talk about politics, but for a lot of Americans, you know, we try to go on the side of God. What policy is closer to God? And so, you know, when you talk about that, I had a recent interview where I start talking about the Black Awakening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it got a lot of traction. I mean, it went viral. You know, I think it got republished 70, 80 times from different publications. And, you know, the fact was is that I knew that I had been lied to and deceived for so long. I watched this president go in and actually pass policies that the Democrats talked about for years and years and years.
Right.
So I want you guys to listen up to an interview I did with Wendy Bell a couple days ago. And I'll get Mike's reaction to this.
You've said something very interesting, too. You said, you know, you don't agree with some of the things that he says or how he does them, how he says things. I agree with you on that. But you said it's policy over personality. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. And I got that from Megan McDowell, my good friend from Fox Business. And, you know, she made that point and it stuck with me. It is. It's policy over personality. You know, I don't have to necessarily like my boss or like my leader. But you know, I want them to be working to make my life better. It's not about me today. You know, it's about, you know, my kids. I got four kids. It's about my kids' future. And you know, I'm not gonna sit around for presidents that are coming into office and, you know, this whole movement of pay to play. I mean, you just look across the board, you know, we have so many presidents and government officials in the Democratic Party that are coming to office broke and they're leaving rich. And that's just something fundamentally wrong with that. And I'm not going to sit around and support, you know, those type of practices.
You know, it doesn't take much to see what this president is doing for all people, but I think he has been specifically involved in the African-American community, and I'm so happy to hear people talk about that. Bringing dads home has to be a priority. Getting dads back in the family, sir, has got to be a priority.
Yeah, they do. I mean, 77% is a big number, and granted, that percentage is big. That doesn't mean that 77% don't have a dad in their life in any way, but they're not in the home.
Right.
You know, they're not married. They're not in the home. You know, and I've had kids, you know, myself out of wedlock. And it's tough, man. When you have kids and you're trying to raise kids that aren't in your home, it's tough. And then you throw in all the cultural issues.
Yes.
And all the things that our babies are having to deal with these days in this changing world.
I hear you.
And, you know, we need the father back.
Yes, we
father
do.
And so crucial.
Would you mind joining me again in the future, sir? I love your voice, and I think we'd love to have you on before the election again. Do you mind?
No problem.
I would love that. Thank you very much. God bless you, and thank you for your time today, sir. Peace.
God bless you. Bye.
Oh, man, you heard that, Mike. Yeah. I mean, you know, let's jump into the Hope Report, man. I know this, we're going to change it up a little bit, but folks, you know, I want to get Mike's reaction as the actual Hope Report, because your experiences are not like the typical white guy.
Well, here, you know, with that Hope Report, you just said what the president's done to basically overturn that 94 law that Clinton did.
Yep.
And what that did, what, you know, you've explained to me, Jack, I lived it. I was in jail, and this is a long-term jail. I was the only white guy there.
Wow.
I mean, it was just, you know, everybody was in for dealing crack.
Wow.
Or for, you know, or being caught with crack.
Yes.
And I had made a promise, you know, my Hope Report, I had, you know, with my book coming out, and my drug dealers did an intervention on me. You know, they did an intervention. I was up for 14 days.
And this is a crack dealers, right?
Crack dealers, you know, and 14 days I've been up, and I come out, they're all three standing there. They're going, you know, we're cutting you off. You've been up for 14 days, and two of them left. And the one guy, he sat there and he watched me, and he goes, how many rocks you have left? And I showed me, and he goes, he tried to wake me out. Well, I knew he'd go to sleep, and I would do him one of these. And he finally went to sleep, and I was already farming by then, and you know, looking on the carpet for crack rocks, and you know, and scraping my pipe. And finally, he went to sleep, and I went down to the streets, and I couldn't buy crack anywhere. Everyone's looking at me, well, you're not getting nothing from me. And the one dealer, just in part of my book, he says that my book writers helped me. He said, well, because he works for me now, he's a born again Christian. Said, well, how do you get the word out? He goes, oh, that was easy. We just said, if you see some crazy white guy with a mustache, don't sell him anything.
Wow.
So anyway, I got back up there so defeated, and it was an hour later, and he's sitting up for me, and he goes, give me your phone. He said, how'd that work out for you? And he took the phone, and he snapped a picture of me, and he said, you're going to need that for that damn book. He said, this is word for word.
Wow.
For that damn book you're writing. And he says, you've been promised this for years, that you're going to quit your addiction, you're going to come back and help us all. I'm coming back into the cities, and we're going to free the people. It's going to be the best help ever available for addicts, for dealers, for everything.
Everything.
To get rid of these wounds and this life cycle or this lifestyle that caught up in, and then punished for it beyond means. That was like, why, you know, you got more for dealing crack because of Clinton's law than you did for shooting somebody.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I lived it. I felt so bad. I'd be in jail for, you know, 21 days in solitary and stuff, and dealing with all these guys. These guys aren't getting out for work. They're in there for 10 months, a year, And some of them just waiting to go to a bigger prison once they get before a judge.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then you'd see them back. I'd be back in jail again. I'd see the same people in there.
Wow.
You know, they're trapped in these, you know, and I'd be down there and they go, yeah, my brother got caught the other day. He's gone for 10 years, you know. And, you know, it was a horrible thing. And because these, what a waste of life, for just because you were forced into the life cycle, mm-hmm. you know, because there were no jobs then too, you know, what our president's done, there's the hope, man. Yeah. You know, you got, you know, the black unemployment all time low in history. Well, why not combine that with letting good people that made some mistakes out of the prison like he did and get them back out there and get them. Now they're going to have jobs for them.
Yeah.
So they're going to have, this is the hope report. This is it. I mean, you've got a president that's done more for the black community than anyone in history. You know,
and it's the second chance. He actually put an act after the first step.
Right.
He has the second chance program that's actually going out and training these convicts and these ex-guys that are leaving prison to go out and work. And Mike, you're about to go to a prison and as part of your book launch. And I mean, I can't wait to see you tell this story to actually guys.
Well, I can relate. You know, I've been able to relate to people that, you know, that eat with four forks and eat with no forks, right? And they, you know, one of the things with my story that God didn't give me just any drug that I was on. They didn't make jokes about heroin. You know, what are you on, heroin? No, it was crack. You know, what are you on, crack?
Yeah
I was, you know. And it's and I was just told last night, I was at this event, and this pastor said, you shouldn't talk about that you were on crack. Just say you were an addict. I said, no, but I'm putting it right out there. I'm not going to hide my story. This brings hope, you know. And I can't wait to speak at the prisons and give them, I think my book's going to help them all.
Yes, it will.
You know, the book has been so important that, you know, with God, the calling that God put on my life, and that this platform, my pillow was just a platform for this amazing story of hope, and then of help.
Right.
You know, and help. And to help the black community, to help. And then I get to have access. I end up meeting you, another divine appointment now here isn't with my book finally finished and bringing hope to them. Wow. To the access. I'm going, I feel like, but I told them back when I remember spending 21 days in solitary in Plymouth, Minnesota. And I told them all there, they'd all get together. I was the only white guy. I go, someday I'm going to return and I'm going to help you. God has shown me this. And I wasn't even saved yet. But it was a prophetic thing that in me. And now it feels good for me to be able to do what God's put me on this plan for, to give back and to help others get out, because life is so good when you don't have that, when you don't have those pains. You need to fill all those inner things with Jesus. All the things that why we were addicts and had these wounds and ended up in places of, just because we made some mistakes.
Just a few mistakes. So inspirational. And as we wrap the show, Mike, tell us when the book's coming out, where people can find it, and just give us some of those details.
It's coming out here in right around the 10th, January 10th. And you can only get it one place, and that's from me. I mean, well, I'm not going to have it in all your bookstores and stuff. You get it directly. You can get it at mystore.com. It's a new platform I have that's going to help entrepreneurs. It's mystore.com. Or you can even find it on mypillow.com.
I ordered it already off of MyPillow. Actually, I ordered like 10 copies. So hopefully I'm the first shipment out.
And I want everybody to know, too, what I did with that. I even bought my own paper. I didn't go through a middleman. I self-published. I wanted all this money to go to the kingdom. Amen. The money from this is going to help launch the Lindo Recovery Network. So this is my, you know, this money that's, I could have just been lazy, gave it to a publisher and said, oh, get the story out there to help people. No, I want to use the money from the book too to help people.
Amen.
You know, why not use it all? The guy gave me this big platform. I'm not going to give someone else a piece of the pie. This needs to go back to the people that need it the most.
Amen, amen. So I encourage everybody, don't just buy one book, buy 3, 4, 5, give it away to people. You guys have heard the amazing stories from Mike, and we're truly honored to be able to share this and bring the level-headed perspective, you know, crossing the racial divides. I'm a black man, and he's a white man, and we've come together to bring our worlds together for the truth, for God, and also hopefully to spread some love to you and your families. I'm Jack Brewer with Mike Lindell. This has been a fun, fun show. This is Level Headed. Make sure you subscribe to Level Headed. Follow us, both Mike Lindell and Jack Brewer. Until next time, we will be back. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless y'all.